All right. I'm going to stand here. Well, thanks so much for all coming along. It's way beyond my original expectations that so many of you guys turned up, so that's fantastic. I sort of imagined that I'd get about 10 guys up with this, and we've got over 20. So thank you for that. I want to talk to you guys tonight about being a man, something we're all supposed to be, about being a Christian man, and a man who, I guess, has been growing, and a man who is still growing to maturity. So this is a man who accepts his responsibilities, a man who knows what those responsibilities are, a man who wants to show his wife, if he has one, that he knows what those responsibilities are, and that he knows what he should be doing. It's about a man who models all of this stuff to his wife and kids, a man who has self-control, a man who is compassionate, a man who is kind, humble, good, faithful, and a man who is gentle, which isn't something our society often puts together with a man. But it actually takes a lot more strength to be a gentle man than it does to be a man who just lashes out. And why do I want to talk to you about this? It's because I really do believe that God calls me and each of you to be a man and not to stay a boy. As you live your life at whatever age you are, from the youngest here, maybe Kyle or Josh, I don't know, through to the oldest, which is probably me, whether you're a boyfriend, a fiancé, a husband, a father, I'd like to know, have you ever stopped to think about what a Christian father actually should do or be? What does a good Christian father look like? How should you behave? As a husband, how should you be relating to your wife or your fiancé or your girlfriend? What are your God-given biblical responsibilities? How well do you carry them out in your families? In the early years of my marriage, this is my first marriage I'm talking about, I actually thought I was doing a pretty good job. The truth is, I never really thought much at all about being a Christian husband or a father. I didn't study God's word about it. I didn't read books about it. I didn't talk to older men about it. I just seemed to naturally fall into this pattern of behaviour that got things done, and it kept my wife pretty happy, kept my kids fairly happy. But the truth is, it was actually really reactive. I just dealt with stuff as it arose. I followed a model that I later realised I'd picked up from my dad, and it worked fine for him because he was married to my mum. My first wife was different, and it didn't work at all, and eventually it failed altogether. Now, if your father is basically a good man who gave you a good childhood, then like me, you probably base your model of parenting and being a husband on your father. If, on the other hand, you had an obviously poor model as a father, you might be trying hard to do the exact opposite. But generally, we're going to follow our father's modelling. Now, that's all very well if our fathers are just like Jesus in the way he loves his church, or like God in the way he treats his children. But if this is not the case, which is what I suspect, then the model we're following will be less than perfect. What I'd like to do is just describe a few common models of fatherhood and being a husband to you. And I'd like to see if they resonate with you at all, I guess. And the first model I call the boy model. And I'd like to describe this model with a story. And it's about a mate I had when I was younger, and we'll call him Wally. Now, Wally was a fun guy. As a young man, he liked toys, and as soon as he had enough money, he bought a car, a big car. It was actually a Chrysler Valiant with a 5.4-litre V8 engine. It went like the clappers, and it was a lot of fun. It cost a heap to run, but that didn't matter in those days. Petrol was cheap. Wally also bought a boat, and then he bought a larger outboard, and he bought skis, and he bought fishing gear. We spent a lot of time fishing. Now, Wally was a really handy bloke. He had welders, chainsaws, compressors, tools of all sorts. Whatever he wanted, he would buy or make. He was a bit wild too, but he sure was a lot of fun. And he really was a bit of a boy. Wally met a girl and was soon married, and within a few years there were three children. Wally liked his kids, but he left most of the raising of them to his wife. His house and his yard were a bit of a mess, lots of things left unfinished and undone. He promised a lot, and he thought he probably should do more, but many other things got in the way. Going fishing with a friend, working on a new boat trailer he was building, helping a mate down on his farm. He did go to church reasonably often, but was reluctant to commit to anything serious or long term. Still, he was a nice bloke, and he was a lot of fun. Wally really wasn't all that interested in teaching his kids about the Lord, or praying with them, or with his wife, but he happily sent them to a Christian school, and he hoped that that would do the job. Besides, his wife was really into that church stuff, so the kids should be all right. The scallop season was opening soon, and he had to make a new dredge, because he was going to be out all weekend with his mates. And anyway, he needed to get away for a bit and have some fun. His wife was always complaining about money and kids and church and stuff. While he wasn't home all that much, but he was loved by his mates, he was a lot of fun, but he really was still a boy. A few years later, Wally's wife had left him. She was on her own most of the time anyway. His children were not really sure who he was. The whole family turned their backs on the church, and now, quite a few years later, Wally lives alone. His kids are far away. Neither Wally, his ex-wife, or any of his children have a relationship with Jesus. Wally still loves his toys, and he's still actually very selfish. And the sad truth is, he's still just a boy. He's never grown into a man. He might be a man physically, but in every other way, emotionally, spiritually, behaviourally, he's a boy. Ask yourself the question, please. Am I a man or am I a boy? Whereabouts am I between being a boy and a mature Christian man? Whereabouts should I be? The second model I want to describe is what I call the tyrant, authoritarian model. As a kid growing up in Kingston, I had a friend who lived about 500 metres or so down a bush track from my place. My friend's dad was an authoritarian man. He was a father and a husband, but he never showed much joy in these roles. Even as a kid, I could clearly see the differences between him and my own dad. He took his holidays when his kids had gone back to school so that he could do the things he wanted to do. He demanded obedience and service from his wife and kids, and he was a selfish and actually very miserable man. I remember clearly once when he was challenged about the way he treated his wife and the suggestion that he should treat her the way Jesus would. His comment was, "I'm not Jesus." He was legalistic and hypocritical. He did not make choices and decisions for the best of his wife and family. Instead, they had to constantly compromise what was best for them to accede to his wishes and desires. Now, I guess this sort of model is a bit rarer in our feminist age. Most women just wouldn't put up with it nowadays. But many of us still lean towards this model of the misuse and misunderstanding of authority. The third model I'd like to talk about is what I call the always try to please model, which is also known as the fear of man model. And this one's pretty close to my heart, and the easiest way for me to explain this is to tell you about my first marriage and what I did not do and the consequences. So 30 years ago, at the age of 25, I married a young lady called Monica. We had four children, and after 19 years of marriage, she divorced me. I was a good husband in many ways. I provided for my wife and children. I made sure there was plenty of food and clothing, and that my kids went to a good school. I spent a lot of time with my family. I loved being with them. We went to church regularly. We were in a Bible study group. I was a good husband by many standards. I loved my wife and children, and yet my marriage failed. I look back now, nearly 15 years or so later, and I can see clearly what I did not do. My wife had a discontent nature, born out of an immature faith and a poor understanding of what she really already had in Christ, the way all of us are at some point in our Christian growth. What I did not do was lead. Instead, I tried to please. I tried to make her happy, to give her what she said she wanted. I should have given her what she needed, real spiritual leadership. I compromised my faith to please her. And instead of fearing God and obeying him, I made my wife the object of my fear. I did not read my Bible regularly. I did not pray regularly. I did not pray with my wife. I didn't serve the church to the capacity I could have. I didn't support the church financially. I didn't stop to think if the way I was being a father and a husband was the right way, or the best way, or God's way. And I didn't try and find out what that way was. As a result, I had no idea at all what headship meant. I had no idea that I was responsible for the spiritual well-being of my wife, and that I would be called to account for that. I trusted God so little that I tried to please her instead of him. I look back now and I wonder, what was I playing at? And it might seem to some of you guys in your 30s or 40s that you've got plenty of time left to make things right. But I know it's gone in a flash and it's quickly too late. I was in two of the most important roles of my life, being a husband and a father, and I was basically winging it. I was making it up as I went along. I think now, did I care so little about the outcome? Do you? I can't speak for you, but the truth is that spiritually I was still a boy. I had faith, but I rarely exercised it. I had a fair bit of knowledge, but my heart was lukewarm. I was so self-reliant that I had little need for God, and I was far more concerned about pleasing my wife than pleasing God. Never understanding that ultimately the best way to please my wife would have been to please God, through obedience to him and fulfilling my role as father and husband his way. Through indifference, a bit of laziness, lots of self-reliance and just plain ignorance, I risked losing my children and having them turn their backs on God, as does happen in so many broken Christian families. Why did I risk that? Why would you? Please, start to think about what we are commanded to do as husbands. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And as fathers, bring your children up in the fear of the Lord. Do you know what these two statements mean for you and your family? Do you care? Don't just accept things the way they are. Think about your roles. Think about what you are. Are you a man? A Christian man? A leader in your family? Do you lead your family God's way? God has been very good to me. Despite what happened to my marriage, he helped me grow so much. And he gave each of my children faith in him. And they're all actively engaged in their faith, in church, and in serving him. And I praise God for that. My first wife, Monica, however, has very little, if any, faith left. She's sad and lonely. And I'm partly responsible for that. And I will have to answer for that. And I hope and pray that this never happens to any of you. The fourth model I've got is the passive, laid-back, laconic model. Now, this model might sound good, but it's actually a model that women really dislike. It may look like the man is the strong, silent type, but he's actually the weak, quiet, and lazy type. This is the man who knows that if he says nothing and often does nothing, his wife will sort it out. This is the man who doesn't have an opinion, doesn't offer advice, doesn't lead, and doesn't say what is best. He shows no initiative and will only react if pushed too far. He isn't working with his wife as a team. His wife usually ends up being the head of the family, unless she makes a decision that impacts his desires unduly. And then he often plays the authority card. I've seen women in this model take up the role of leadership that is meant for their husbands because they want to grow. They want their children to grow. So they assume the leadership and headship to fill a vacuum. It causes huge discontent in the marriage, and the issues of women doing the leading often spill over into church life and cause big problems there. It's not a good model. The fifth model is the worker model. I suspect you're all very familiar with this model. It's the man who lives for his work. The family that gets the leftovers of Dad's time. The man whose God has become his work. The man who is defined by his job. And even though it is familiar to us, we still need to be aware, as the slide into this model is often a gradual thing, and each little step is easily justified. So many times I've heard the following statements. Oh, I just need to work these hours for a couple of years so we can afford what we need. I'm doing it to give the kids better schooling. I want to give them a better chance in life than I had. I want to give them an easy, happy life. I want to be able to leave a legacy to my kids, and so on. This stuff is rubbish. Are our kids going to be better people if you give them everything they think they need, or if they have an easy life? What makes a person of good character? Good times or enduring through struggle? God commands you to bring your children up in the fear of the Lord, not give them an easy life and teach them it's about getting money and stuff and leisure time and sport. These things are all okay in balance, but it should never be what you live for or work for or teach your children. If you do read your Bible, however, you will see that work is good and you can see what it's for. We work to provide for our family's needs. We work not to burden others. We work to serve the community. We work to enable us to share with those in need. And we work so we can support gospel workers, so we can be partners in the gospel with our paid staff. Now, there's lots more combinations of these models and other models we could talk about, but the important thing to realise is that most of us have become the type of leader we are in our families through a pretty slow, gradual process, probably biased towards what we were modelled by our fathers. And it's quite difficult to look at ourselves objectively and think about the way we are fathers and husbands, but I suggest it's of the utmost importance that we do. As you grow in your own spiritual maturity, as you grow in Christ-likeness, you will be a better father and a better husband. This will also make your marriage better and give you greater wisdom and insight as a parent. It's what God commands us to do, and it's what God wants us to do. So why would you not want to grow? This problem of boys growing physically into men but staying boys spiritually and emotionally is a big problem in our society, and it's a problem amongst Christian men as well. Of course, we're not all like my mate Wally, but all of us will be somewhere on this continuum from boyhood to manhood. And it's probably not so important where we are on this line, it's what we're doing about it. The Bible does teach us about maturity as a Christian man and our roles and responsibilities. It does tell us about being a man. So find out what the Bible says. Don't stay a boy. Be a man. Please hear what I say. God calls you to be a man, not a boy. He wants mature men leading their families. Women want men, not boys, leading them and their families. Children need a man, not a boy, leading them, nurturing and serving and modelling Christ to them. All of us need to be Christian men, accepting our responsibilities as fathers and even husbands-to-be. We need to know what those responsibilities are and to carry them out with God's authority given to us for the good and joy of our families and to glorify him. Now, if you're going to fulfil your responsibilities as a man, you'll need to have authority to do that. And I want to explore this topic of authority just a little more. Imagine you're given a new role at work. It's going to need all these buzzwords. Michael knows them. Long-term commitment, vital outcomes, big changes, staff changes, structure, purchase of infrastructure, delegation, all that stuff. You accept this role, but you are given no authority at all to do anything. You can't hire staff, you can't purchase goods, you can't change structure, nothing. No authority at all. You're stuffed. You can't fulfil the responsibilities that go with that role. It's obviously a ridiculous situation. And in a way, This is what feminism has done to modern man, and some of us have believed this lie. It's taken away the authority of men to show any sort of leadership or headship. The Bible, however, clearly shows that we, as men, are the beings that gave life to our children, and as such, we have a responsibility to nurture and grow them. And that responsibility carries with it authority. To fulfil your responsibilities as a father and a husband requires you to have loving authority to carry them out. And this is headship. Headship is the authority to fulfil the responsibilities that you have taken on by accepting the roles of father and husband, to lovingly nurture and grow your wife and children in the Lord. Please note this, however. There is no authority outside of the responsibility. Authority without responsibility is tyranny. It's about power and control. It's not about loving nurture. One is serving your wife and children with authority for their best. The other is serving yourself in selfishness. So again, find out what your responsibilities are. Then exercise your God-given authority for their good, for them, for your family, not yourself. I mentioned my first marriage a little earlier and some of the things I did not do and the consequences. I'd like to tell you now about what I do and the benefits. Helen and I are into our fifth year of marriage, and I am so incredibly blessed by God to have her as my wife. I thank God each day for her. The most significant thing I do now that I did not do in my previous marriage is this. I pray with my wife daily, or try to. Just the two of us each morning. Often it's thanking God for the new day, for the sunshine, a good night's sleep, a warm bed, for each other. Often it's for one of you and your wife and your kids, or for our own children. We prayed regularly for Helen's daughter, Sarah, and her son, Chris, who were not Christians. Both of them have become active Christians in the last 18 months. It's the best thing we do, and it changes the day. And I do know, it can feel difficult and unnatural for some of us. But so what? Do it anyway. Pray for your children. Pray for each other. Pray for your marriage. Pray for your children's faith. Pray for your roles as a father. Pray for your wider family. Pray for your church family. It'll change your lives. Your relationship with your wife should be the most intimate human relationship you have. Both of you have the same God, who knows everything about you, including your thoughts. You should be sharing your love for God with each other, and the best way to do that is to pray together. So lead. This is a really obvious area where you can and should show leadership, and model it to your children. So talk to your wife. Tell her you're going to do this. And then follow through. Make it a priority. If you pray together each day, even if it's only for 5 minutes in the morning before work or whenever you can do it, it will make a difference in your marriage, and it makes a difference to God. If God wants this and your wife wants this, why aren't you doing it? What's so hard? Is it going to cause you pain or make you sick? You don't have to give up your favourite sport. You don't have to give up your whole Saturday. You don't have to go visit someone. Just sit down and pray. At worst, it might feel a little awkward. But so what? Just do it. Be a man. Lead. Pray. And it'll also tell your children that prayer is important, that it's a priority for you. And that's a great thing to model to your kids. One of the hardest things we need to do sometimes as men is talk. But leadership requires talking. You can't lead without talking in a family. Good leadership is often about talking with the right words. It's about talking at the right time, and it's about talking in the right way. Talking, saying the right words in love, in encouragement or discipline or challenging or rebuking, whatever it might be, is actually what leading is about. If you think keeping quiet as much as possible and letting your wife get on with it, letting her sort things out on her own, letting her make decisions that you should have input into, and letting her lead where you should be showing leadership, if you think that's a good model that at least keeps the peace, you're wrong. So step up. Start talking to your wife and children. Know your Bible so that you can bring the gospel to bear on what needs deciding. Be a man. Start leading. Start talking. When you get home tomorrow, talk to your wife. Tell her what impacted you about this weekend. Tell her what you're going to do. It might be hard after so many years of not doing it, but it's a good thing to do. Maybe some of us will need to sit down and talk with our wives and kids about the hours we work. Maybe think about whether we need some of the things we think we want. Are there better ways of spending time than working for money for more stuff that probably won't deliver what it seems to promise? Some of you might already want to pray with your wives. It's just a matter of saying we're going to do it and working out when and where that'll happen. It might be thinking and talking about how you teach and model the gospel to your kids. Now listen, I'm not saying that you as a man are the one that has to do all this stuff. Certainly not yourself. You do it as a team with your wife. But it is your responsibility to make it happen. You may need to go home to your wife and take responsibility for disciplining your children or having a good discussion on exactly how you plan to raise your children in the fear of the Lord. As a man, you are the originator of life. You are the one who creates new life. And you are responsible for the children you father. You may need to go home and take responsibility for family planning in your marriage and sit down and talk to your wife about that. It might be accepting that you love sport too much and talking about how and when you can change this and put things back in the right perspective. You may need to go home and admit to your wife that you've been failing her and not accepting your responsibility spiritually and work out together how you can change that. You may need to confess to God and your wife that it's your own spirituality that is the problem. And talk about how to change your Bible reading, your praying habits together. And you are in this together, but ultimately, again, it is your responsibility as a man. So lead. Be a man. Please don't be complacent about this stuff. Some of you might be thinking, it's all okay. There's really nothing to worry about. We're doing fine. But there is a problem. There is a problem with us, the men of One Way. And the reason I say this is because what we do or don't do as men in our church, where we can all see each other, often reflects what we do or don't do in our own families. And I'd like to point out three areas where we're not leading the way we should be. Why are there so many one-way women in one-to-one discipling and so few of us men? We all know it's a good thing. It grows us, it keeps us accountable, it allows us to spur each other on, it allows us to share wisdom, experience, we share God's word and prayer, yet so few of us do it. Why is that? We're talking about an hour a week or an hour a fortnight. Why are our women leading us in this regard? Congregational prayer. Why is it that on a Sunday morning we predominantly hear women praying during our congregational prayer time? Why aren't we showing leadership here? As men, we should be modelling prayer to our wives and kids. Sometimes our kids are better at praying in church than we are. We are supposed to be the leaders in our families and in church. Why aren't we doing it? Our wives, again, are leading us. And that's not how it's supposed to be. So show some strength and start leading. The Sunday morning prayer meeting. Why on a Sunday morning are there three or four or less people at the pre-service prayer meeting? Often, mostly women. Why aren't we all there every week? Why aren't you modelling the priority of prayer to your biological family and serving your church family with prayer? We all know, and I'm sure if I asked you, you'd agree, that prayer is the most important thing we can do. So why aren't we all there on a Sunday morning praying for Graham and Dan and whoever's preaching? why aren't we praying that they will be able to preach the truth, the gospel, the only thing that saves us and others? Why aren't we praying that they'll be able to preach in a way that convicts us, that encourages us, that grows us, that changes our hearts and wills? Don't we want that? Don't we want the good news of Jesus to impact us, our lives? Why aren't we praying for that every Sunday? Our preachers need our prayers. Why aren't we praying? When was the last time you prayed for the preacher and the leaders and the congregation before church on a Sunday morning? What are you modelling to your kids? Some of these seemingly little things are actually so important. Your everyday life, the little things you do each day, are teaching your children. Your first discipling role is your own children. What are they learning from you in regard to church, praying and reading your Bible? We need to be modelling godliness to our kids. I'm sure we all agree this is God's world. Fatherhood and being part of a marriage is God's idea. So naturally, the best way to fulfil these roles is God's way. So how do you and I ensure that we grow into God's model? It's really obvious, isn't it? We go to His Word. We read the Bible and pray. We talk to God through prayer. He talks to us through His Word. If you are going to develop a model of leading, make sure you have the Bible as your guide and input. Now, I wonder, as I've been talking, have any of these father-husband models resonated with you? Have you ever thought about what you're modelling to your kids? Do you know what sort of model you received from your father? Do you know what God's model is? Have you put any effort into trying to find out? Does your wife respect you as a man, a Christian man? Has she got any good reason to? Do you imagine that you will get a second chance if you stuff this up? Do you know that you will be called to account for your leading or lack of it? You will have to answer for your choices and your decisions or your apathy. And another question, what do you want your kids to remember about you in years to come? That you're a good bloke? That you're a lot of fun? That you made a lot of money? That you were good at business or sport? That you were unapproachable? That you were severe? That you were selfish? Or that you were passive? Or just nothing, really? Or maybe, hopefully, that you weren't perfect, but you were trying to be a man of God. Your children live with you. They see the subtle ins and outs of your lives. They hear conversations. They see behaviours. If you are talking the talk, but not walking the walk, they see straight through you. Your own children have the world's best bullshit detectors when it comes to you, their parents, and hypocrisy will stick out a mile, and they will do what you do, not what you say. It is God's plan that you lovingly lead your wife and children to grow and nurture them physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Therefore, you need to know what that plan is. So read your Bible, listen to some talks online, read good books, there's plenty of them. Get involved in a one-to-one. Do a study on fatherhood or marriage. Help each other. Talk to other men. Talk to older men who have experience. Listen and learn rather than just blunder on. You don't have to learn the hard way. God wants you to be a man. Your wives want you to be a man. Your children need you to be a man. So what are you? What are you going to be? Please